Welcome to Crooners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have Amelia Rose here to chat about her music. And also, you should stay tuned for a special treat at the end of the episode. Amelia, we would love to start off with kind of how you got started in music.
So I've been playing music, writing music for probably professionally, like around 7 years now. I really started getting into it 12, 13. I have always loved lyrical music. Like, I always listen first to the lyrics of a song before I really digest the rest of what's happening around it. So I always really valued that. And I grew up in a house of musicians. Both my parents are musicians. So I've always grown up around it, valued all sorts of different kinds of music, whether it's like screamo or, dare I say, country. You know, like, I come from a quite a well-rounded taste, I think.
Yeah. And I feel like the more that we get exposed to different kinds of music, we start to learn about elements that we end up really liking in something that we might not normally listen to.
Yeah, definitely.
The wonders of music, you just never know what's going to catch your ear, I guess.
Yeah, or even like influence wise, like, because I grew up around so many different types of things, like, as much as I don't do screamo or heavy metal music, I'm really heavily influenced by it in the way of song structure and like tempo changes. Like, I don't know if you would necessarily grasp it the first time you listen to my music that it would be one of my biggest influences, but it's part of it.
Yeah. And kind of getting into your music, a little birdie told us that you're gearing up to release an EP, and we're so excited.
I'm so excited too.
Yeah. Would you like to give our listeners kind of like a sneak peek at what we should look forward to regarding lyrics and the instrumental elements?
Well, okay. So my EP is called Dead Moths in My Sugar, and it's coming out soon. The date is to be announced, but it's about taking back pieces of yourself that you may have given to other people or that other people have tainted or whatever. It's about that kind of experience of having all these bad people around you and coming out of it stronger, even if you're by yourself.
I love that. I feel like that's such a universal theme, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like a romantic relationship. It could be like a platonic relationship, like your best friends, or even, you know, just realizing that family members could be toxic as well, and you just never know. But I love that it is going to be, you know, raw and also very, like I said, a universal theme as well that I feel like a lot of people are going to be able to take away from it.
Yeah, I think I really wanted to make sure that the production in the EP really conveyed the emotion and the emotional impact of kind of continually getting or continually losing battles with people and continually being in that situation. Like you said, like, whether it's romantic, platonic, familial, like, doesn't matter. Like, people can still impact you in all sorts of ways, and it changes you as a person. It really makes you take a step back and think about your actions, think about why you're doing what you're doing or why you're surrounding yourself with people like that. So a lot of the EP does come from a relationship I was just in, though there are some like platonic songs, I guess, on it as well that are more just about not great things. But I think the theme as a whole is that you can be strong even if you're by yourself and not necessarily, you don't need a bunch of people around you to come out stronger. You can just have it within.
I love that so much. And I feel like, especially after, I mean, I guess we're still in a pandemic, but, you know, just realizing how much you do need to kind of count on yourself in times where you're not able to be around people all the time and such. So I'm very excited. I can't wait to cry. You know, I love to cry along with my songs. I feel like it's going to hit me in the heart. So excited. And you've also released accompanying music videos. You have two singles, Goliath and Nosedive, and both of them are very different visually, and I love them. I love the stark differences in everything and the thematics and such. And I wanted to ask you, like, how did you decide on the creative concepts for both of the videos? And also, if you had an unlimited amount of money, what would you add to the videos?
Okay, so Goliath, it's actually filmed and produced by my best friend's parents. They're amazing photographers and they come from that industry. And so they were like, well, we'll help you with the video. So they came to me with the concept and all the different changes, and they had their own influences that they wanted to include in it. And for me, the important part of the video was that it was kind of going through these gradual differences that almost show like time passing, like there's a lot of time passing through the thing. But so that's how Goliath came to be. And it was phenomenal to work with them. And they're amazing. And it came out exactly how I thought it was going to. It's really amazing to be able to say that I really wouldn't change anything about it. But nosedive. If I had an unlimited amount of money, I had this concept for nosedive. I came up with the concept and my parents filmed the video. So it's quite homemade, if I may say so myself. But I came up with the concept and a lot of the things that I really, really wanted to happen in the video, it just wouldn't have made sense. We didn't have the time or money to do it. But in the song, the way that I produced it, I put a lot of different like Foley effects in it. Like there's a lot of like sound effects. Like at one point there's a sound of like almost like pearls falling off of a necklace. And like there's some different like, I don't know. I wanted to really create a soundscape with it that could portray the feeling of emptiness that you hear pin drops. You hear when a bead falls off the shelf. Like you hear that kind of stuff because it's just such an empty room. And so I had this concept that like for every Foley thing that happened in the song, I wanted to like have a visual to go along with it. It would have taken months, but so it didn't happen. But if I had unlimited money, I definitely would have loved that to come to fruition. But I think the video that we came up with was really cool and beautiful. It was filmed in a park that the person who the song is about and I used to actually go to. So it's a little bit of a, I don't know, Easter egg, I guess.
I thought the video was stunning. I would not have known that it was homemade, quote unquote. and it gave me Twilight vibes. So
thank you. That was the goal. That was the goal.
Well, you achieved it.
Yay.
And I wanted to ask you kind of like a fun question. If you could choose three artists to go on a world tour with, who would you choose and what would you name your tour?
This is my favorite question. I thought about this for a hot minute. So I would want to go on tour with Fiona Apple and Alanis Morissette because they're two of my biggest influences ever. And I just feel like it would be so fun. And the tour would be called Unbridled Female Rage. And it would just be us like scream singing on stage. I just think it would be so much fun. Somebody make this happen. If anybody out there, if you know Fiona Apple or Alanis Morissette personally, please give them my contact info. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Make it happen.
It is out in the universe, manifestation 2022. It's going to happen.
Please.
And I love the tour name. I could just imagine the merch and just walking around with this like dope ass sweater.
Yep. My best friend is a feminist and she like started a feminist club at like her school and stuff. Like she's awesome. And she uses that term a lot, unbridled female rage. Like that's how she describes my music. That's how she describes a lot of things. And so I think it would also be a fun little homage to her to have it be called that. If it ever happens, you know what? We're putting it out there. We're putting it out in the universe that it's gonna happen. 2022. We'll manifest it. Someone get in contact with these people. Thank you.
Woo! And to kind of go into, you know, everybody's favorite topic of marketing and social media, it runs our lives, whether we like to admit it or not. Do you feel that there's kind of like an unspoken pressure placed upon creatives, whether or not it's like musicians and such, to constantly have content to share with their audience?
Yeah, personally for me, the content train is pretty difficult. And I think for most people it is, you know, whether you have mental health issues or stuff that you struggle with, like it's hard to always look put together and, you know, showing your best face on the internet. And for me, I'm a live streamer, so we talk about mental health a lot on my live streams. And I try to remind everybody that like the internet is not real life. Everybody that you see on there is putting their best face forward as you do in your own social media accounts and stuff. And I don't know, I think that the pressure of being a creator or a art person involved in the arts is to always have something super meaningful and super impactful to say, or I don't know. And I think there's kind of this divide of like posting casually on Instagram or posting really meaningfully. And it's like, I don't really know which one I fall into at this point. I try to do a little bit of both, but the content train is hard. I try though, but I think it's interesting how long the internet has been around and how we're kind of just getting to a point now where it's like, does it matter? It does. Does this platform matter over this platform? Like, does TikTok matter more than Instagram? Or like, I don't know. But I just like throwing bricks at windows and seeing what breaks.
I love that analogy. It's true though, because like it's constantly changing. Like I watched MySpace become obsolete pretty much. I mean, it's still around, but definitely not in the same vein as how it existed back when it was huge with like my group of friends, and then just taken over by Facebook, and then all of a sudden it was Twitter, and then all of a sudden it was Snapchat and Instagram. And I feel like going to be one step up from the quote unquote cool platform, and you just never know what's going to stick around in a way. Like, we thought Vine was going to be a huge thing, and then look what happened with that. You know, you just never know.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why, like, I think if anybody out there, like, if you're a creative or something, I think it's really just a matter of throwing things and seeing what works. I try not to take social media too seriously, because when I do, it like really is detrimental to my well-being. But hopefully in time, it will become more about the art itself and not about how the algorithm helps you or anything like that. I think it's a really hard game to play, and everybody's trying to play it, you know? On the flip side, as a live streamer, I will say that I would not be half of where I am if it wasn't for the internet and social media. You know, I've found a platform that kind of works for me, or an algorithm that kind of helps me, which is great. But I think at the same time, when you're trying to find that and you're in that process of throwing stuff at the wall, like, it's hard to feel confident about what you're doing, especially as, like, you know, sensitive creatives. It's difficult, but hopefully the more time we have with the internet, hopefully things will get more. I mean, I see it now even on TikTok, things being more positive, like with body positivity or body neutrality and mental health and stuff. I hope it goes in a positive direction.
Same, definitely. There's been a lot of ugly, but there's also been a lot of good that's been coming out as well.
Yeah.
And as a female artist in the music industry, how would you say that artists that identify as female, do you feel like they have a pressure placed on them to, like, kind of look certain ways or portray themselves in certain ways in order to find success?
So there's this really good article, I think it was Taylor Swift who said it, if not, it's about Taylor Swift, about how she's had to rebrand herself every 5 to 7 years, maybe even shorter than that, every 3 to 7 years or something. Like, and I don't know if it was from her perspective or from someone else talking about women in music, and it was about having to rebrand yourself to keep people interested. But if you think, like, Adam Levine has never had to rebrand himself, Blake Shelton has never had to rebrand himself, but yet Taylor Swift had all these, like, eras so that way she could stay relevant and stay in the public eye. Or, you know, even with Billie Eilish recently, like, having a complete rebranding, but had to be so strict to her branding first. And now she's so strict to this branding. And it's like, at least for me as a woman in music, it's a little bit jarring to think about how there's so many male artists that have not had to think about, you know, oh, if I, like, wear only these clothes, I can only wear these clothes for the next 5 years and nothing else. And then after 5 years, I have to completely think about a different era. And it's just, it becomes more of an equality thing rather than a people shaming on Billie Eilish now for showing more skin or wishing that she went back to the other thing. It's like, who cares? Like, why can't she could just do what she wants? She's, you know, an adult and she's ruling the world at this point in the music world, you know? But yeah, but I think as a woman in music, it's challenging to gain that kind of respect for things. At least I know in my own experiences, I've had a lot of mansplaining things to me. Yeah, it's something. But whether it's from, like, a production standpoint or a, like, because I'm a live streamer, I'm very heavily involved with, like, different softwares and different technology things. And yeah, I've had a lot of things mansplained to me that I already knew. And then, you know, I've been producing my own music for the past 6 years, and I'm not perfect at it, but I've had other people who are also equally not perfect at it tell me what I'm doing wrong, or quote unquote. And I don't know. It's just, I hope to gain the type of respect that I deserve.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate that women have more of the pressure to, like, be certain ways for a certain amount of time in order to stay relevant in the public.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Taylor Swift as well, it's every album, I think, too. It's so, I don't even know if it's always, like, even 3 years. It's interesting, and I don't really know why it is. So maybe I have to dive deeper into the why society, why women have to constantly be rebranding themselves. But it's definitely a topic that needs to more discussion, I think.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that the music industry evolves enough where that kind of thing doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
In our lifetime, I hope it happens.
By the time I'm at my like third rebranding, we'll see that we don't need rebranding anymore.
And what do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
Well, I hope to inspire especially young girls. When I was young, a lot of the female role models that I had in my life were really just my mom. You know, in music, I didn't really know a lot about really strong and powerful female artists. The female artists that I had heard of at the time were, you know, not to say that Taylor Swift isn't a strong female. I didn't mean that that way. But I mean, like, the talking openly about mental health stuff or bad relationships. And I guess it really kind of forced me to fall into the like pop punk genre of music and idolizing the women in pop punk because they were so angry and they could express themselves. And I really related to that. So I hope to be that kind of person for other young people who want a strong role model to look up to, who they can relate to and feel like a part of themselves is in that.
Yeah, it's definitely something that is a feat that a lot of female artists and artists in general hope for the people that are taking in their music and such. And like, it's such an important one because there might be people that don't have the role models that they particularly need. And luckily, music exists and they're able to get it from there.
Definitely.
Yeah. And to end up the interview portion, I know you've got an EP and we're manifesting that 2022 tour, but what other things should we be expecting from you in the near future?
So I do live streaming. So I am constantly live streaming on a site called volume.com. So if anybody listening wants to check that out, you can come view my live streams. It's free to make an account, but I also live stream on Twitch. In the near future, I am playing a couple live shows, which I'm really excited about. So if you want to check out where I'm playing, you can follow my Instagram at whoisameliarose. And yeah, just new music, new visuals, new videos, and hopefully more gigs.
Woo! Super exciting. And really quickly to go into our coffee shop appreciation portion here at Crooners and Coffee Shops, we love our coffee. And especially if they come internationally. So my future sister-in-law got me this like really cool blend. It's from Ecuador Cafe Bolivar and it's fantastic. And she brought it all the way from Ecuador. So shout out to Sienna. Amelia, do you have any coffee shops or cafes locally that you'd like to shout out?
I do. There's a coffee shop in Newburgh, New York called Two Alices, and they're my favorite ever. I get coffee there all the time. So that's the coffee shop I want to shout out.
Woo, awesome. And a special treat for everybody that's listened to the entire episode. Woo. We have Amelia getting ready to play a song for us.
Hi, my name is Amelia Rose, and the song I'm going to play is called My Lover is a Wave That Pulls Me Under, Unloved by a Former Lover. And it's an original song, and I hope you like it.
Lover, lover. laughter puts my awful melody back in tune, and I think he wishes the same that I do, but I'm not green to this game. I know he feels caged, lacking the strength to bend the wires, to cram his skinny bones through. They're almost thicker than him. I wish he did love me. I wish he did. In the tremendous, would die for you and write 1,000 rhymes for you and leave it all behind for you, way that I do. Afraid, yet still with his mind, he vies. But he'll forever be the starlight in my unlit sky.
To have a special performance from you and also getting to chat with you about your music. Where can everybody find you online?
You can find me everywhere at Who Is, and then my name, Amelia Rose, AmeliaRose. I have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Volume. You can find me on there at volume.com/AmeliaRose and twitch.tv/AmeliaRose. And Spotify is also Amelia Rose, but all one word. Oops, all one word, all lowercase. And you can find all my music there.
Awesome. Well, we're hoping that you're staying safe and staying healthy. And to our listeners, stay safe out there, everyone, and stay caffeinated.
Thank you so much for having me.
Woo!